Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody. This is Natalie Thomas. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm really excited for tonight's program. But first, I'm really excited about Jim helping us get with our new intro. You know I was going to have to say something, didn't you?
Well, you know, it's because we woke everybody up.
I know. They're like, wait, what happened?
I mean, the last theme song we had was something I had picked out that was calm and cool and laid back.
And, oh, no, we're excited about
what
Natalie
says,
doing.
We got to have a new theme.
That's right. And so I hope you guys
picked it.
Yes, and you did a great job. I appreciate that. And, you know, I hope that everybody enjoyed that. I sure did, but I'm really excited tonight. We've got our host with us tonight on the phone. We got Mark on there. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Natalie?
I'm doing great. It's so good to hear. So good to hear your voice.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I just had one question about that intro. Who came up with the idea that there was any compelling thought involved?
I believe compelling talk was the word that was used.
That
means
talk?
Our listeners and our guests are compelling.
Okay, so Jim, that was in which I thought was really great. I just suggested the song and told him which lyrics or which things I really wanted to hear, and he did the rest. And I thought he did a really good job with it.
He did a good job. That's a great job, Jim.
Yeah. And so also, I just want to go ahead and let our guests know who we have on with us tonight. I'm really excited. I know him from a long time ago through my pastor. He is actually his youth director, if I do remember right, and it's Frank Gordoa, who is from his church in Dumas, Texas. Welcome, Frank.
Hey, it's great. Glad to be with you guys. Welcome. I'm so glad. I guess you're welcoming me, but we're all welcome. I love the introduction. Sounds great. God is on the move. We know God is moving, and we want to move with him. And that's what y'all are doing.
That is right. And, you know, that was one thing that I was telling Jim and Mark, and what we were all just talking about it is, you know, we hear so many things that's going on right now that let's not forget that even though you're hearing all of these negative things, that God is on the move. He is still on the move, and we want to let you guys know about it. And so, Frank, we want to go ahead and get jump started. You know, I know you through Aaron Mercer, and actually when you were pastoring Cornerstone Church of Dumas, and you had done several kids camps, and I actually had an opportunity to come up and serve with you guys in that, and that's how I know that. But now you've come into his church, Dumas. Could you share a little bit about that and how all that came about?
Sure. It's interesting how in the Texas Panhandle, a lot of the churches are connected to each other. Whether they'll admit it or not, there's so many of us that are connected to each other. So in history, a quick history, a lot of churches, well, I think it's important to note, a lot of churches that are independent, maybe classified spirit-filled type churches, would have come out with an influence from Trinity Fellowship being the largest, and some other independent Assembly of God being a denomination. But a lot of churches like ours have come from that influence or that connection. And so his church, Dumas, has been in connection with some of the pastors and leaders for really over 30 years. So even though it was a merger to combine with them, there was over a 30-year relationship, starting back with Pastor David Brown of what used to be called Amarillo Christian Center. And from there, there were some churches started. One of them was Borger. And so Borger, Cornerstone Borger, which the name was changed later under Pastor Jim Loper, was started and came from Amarillo, that church connection. Also, the church here in Dumas that I pastor under Pastor Randy Voigt was also coming from the Amarillo connection and influence. And so his church, Dumas, is actually going around in a circle. We've come back to get into relationship with Pastor Brian and Jesse Gibson, which Pastor Jesse is Pastor David Brown's daughter. So is everyone straight so far in all this connection here?
Oh, man,
here,
I'm
this
lost.
Relational connection?
I'm it's still lying.
So we come into relationship with them, and just real quick, I'll say this is the main purpose. We felt like God led us into this type of relationship because it's not as known here in the Texas Panhandle, although there are some examples, Trinity, Hillside, and now the new church that's actually about to start their services in Amarillo called Life Church are all what you call simulcast type churches, meaning they simulcast into the auditorium of a church they're partnered with. Now for our situation, not all of our services are simulcast. Some of them are. Like right now, I preach on live on Sunday mornings on the 1st and the 3rd, and then we simulcast from different locations in our Texas churches or our Kentucky campuses. And so the leader now is no longer me because I turned it over to Pastor Brian Gibson. And so now I'm still here, still pastoring, but I'm pastoring in that umbrella and in that connection of his church campuses, one organization, different locations, and we're looking to expand and grow. There's some other opportunities that are before us. COVID made things weird, but we're on the move. And so this is about a two-year relationship as far as being an official His Church campus, but it goes back further than that. And then as far as relationship, it goes back, like I said, 30-some-odd years.
Wow, that is a lot of networking and a lot of opportunities to reach people. And I didn't realize that you were connected to Kentucky as well.
Yes, and that would have been Pastor Brian is from Kentucky. Pastor Jesse is from Amarillo, Texas. And, of course, they've been married many years. But when they graduated from ORU, they pioneered a church in Owensboro, which is an incredible story in and of itself. Y'all have to have them in the different locations. They met in a bar. They met in different facilities, and it grew to over 1,000 members from just ministering to college kids, basically. And so it was exciting, but that was their first church. And then they merged with the Amarillo, and then they opened up a new one in Kentucky, and then we joined with them. And so that's, and there's been some others that are looking at possibly opening up soon as well.
Wow, that is really great. Now, is there a story about how you actually came into this connection and how you came under this umbrella of ministry with these other people? Or
yes, certainly. Once again, I'm using the phrase because we're kind of educating people, because you don't know till you know. There's different ways to do church, and we know that the Bible is very clear about doctrine, about foundation. And so it's not about doctrine, foundation, and things like that as much as it is about the way we do church. There's different ways that we can conduct church. There was a time where there was no online ability, but now we have online. Some people like it, some people don't, but a lot of churches do a lot of their work online. I don't know the percentage, but we do a lot of online activity, Facebook, YouTube, things like that. So that's a new way for the church. Every church doesn't have to do that. And I think it's a big mistake whenever we start judging and comparing churches and how they do it and what they do. I think as long as we have sound doctrine, we're faithful to present Jesus as the only way, truth and life, salvation, and those kind of fundamental things that most, well, Christians would agree on, that the way we do things is interesting. So my heart had kind of watched the landscape, and actually, as well as really one of my best friends in the ministry, Pastor Aaron Mercer, we all talk shop and talk church. And so we all compare notes and look at different ways and how to be more effective. And so one thing that was different in my heart was because nobody in my realm of relationships had kind of seen this, but I had begun to study for the future the purpose of, and maybe the for us as a church to do this simulcasting where we work with other churches. We can actually bring in a almost live, it's about a 5-minute delay, broadcast from one location, but have several locations be able to benefit from that. At the same time, have live worship, live pastors, live children's, you know, everything's pretty much live except for the teaching portion. And I felt like that was worth, if God had called us to do that, to entertain the idea and pray about it. And so one of my influences, which is interesting that they're actually starting a new campus in Amarillo this month, actually. So they've already had their preparation meeting in their building and planning to launch their official building sometime in the spring. But it's Life Church, which bigger's not always better, but they're a very influential church. Last time I visited them, they were running over 75,000 people in the actual chairs, not just on the roll, 75,000 in all of their campuses, basically showing the same teaching portion, but having all other aspects of a live service. And so it's an interesting way. It's an effective way. It's a proven way. Now, we're not exactly like Life Church, but we have taken on some of those components. So I had prayed about doing something like that and felt the green light of the Lord. And I talked to several pastors, including Pastor Aaron Mercer and different one of my friends, colleagues, and everyone was very supportive, myself and Teresa. And we had been here in Dumas already 15 years, I believe. And so we had had some time here and we made the transition to basically turn over the keys and turn over the leadership. Even though we were in charge, now we're under a realm of authority, and it's been a great blessing. It's been a great blessing. I mean, it's had its transition in the hearts and minds of people, and we've tried to walk them through that, but it has been very good for us, the health of the church, the mission ability, and one of our favorites, and I don't believe it's just our favorite. I believe it's our calling, our ability to reach kids in churches and in communities all over Texas, and now in two other countries all through the summer. This has really helped being a part of an organization really larger than our own independent home right here in Dumas.
That is.
So Frank, that is Life Church is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was just making note that that is an example of a church that utilizes simulcasting as a way of doing their, ministry. And I've been to several of their churches, conferences, and had really studied that years ago and thought that might be a possibility that could work. And I know it's not for everyone, but it has really, they've done a good job. And it's just interesting that they're coming in and starting something this month. They're launching.
Yeah. Now, this isn't what you're a part of, right?
No, sir. I hope that wasn't confusing. I was just trying to use an example of a much larger church network that does that. Because we're a young organization. We're only 3 years old in what we're doing. 2 years for Dumas included into, but we're a 2.5 year old organization doing it this way.
Yeah. Some of my children are involved in Life Church. So I'm pretty familiar with that model.
Yes, sir.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So Frank, how does it feel? How does it make you feel to turn over your, I guess your authority in a way?
Yeah. Well, it's very humbling. I had one, dear pastor, say to me, well, I guess you don't want to be in charge anymore. And I just kind of thought, no, that's not it. I just believe this is the Lord's timing and purpose. I'm not planning on retiring anytime soon, but there has to be a transitional, something in the horizon anyway to be looking forward to doing that. And so that was a consideration for sure. And our following after the dream and the vision of the camp, the churches that we work with children's camps and in different countries and places, that is so big in our heart and has only grown larger and larger and larger. So that also fits in with the decision making, and I believe in the will of God for us and our part in this type of church, but also the evangelistic work we do.
Tell us a little bit about your evangelistic work with children and youth, and I know that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, sir.
Quite a few other people.
Yes, it's kind of funny because we think, my wife and I look at each other, and I'm 52, she's 51, and we think, okay, we've been senior leaders for decades. We've been on the mission field and helped start two churches, and now we've done all that senior prep work, and now we're becoming children's ministers and youth ministers. But really, our heart is so much focused on kids, and then the youth and young adults, and then their families. It kind of works in that way, generational type ministry. And this has been years now. We've done this for over 17 years of having these camps in Europe and here in the United States. So it's been a developing work, but the heart of it is to provide a week-long camp for children, elementary age and intermediate, I guess, junior high age children, 6 to 11, 6 to 12. But to do that, we would also be working with teenagers to help lead the younger ones. And then, of course, some of the college kids and young adults. So it ended up being a generational ministry. Children, and then the youth and young adults that we train and work with, and they're giving back to the kids. And then the families that we impact in whatever said community we're in. And then, of course, working with the churches, because we're church folk. We believe in working with churches. And so the name of the organization that actually now has its 501c3, we're getting funding. We have different funding that comes in from different sources, missionary support, is called Cities for Kids, like Cities for Kids. And our website is citiesforkids.com, with like a four in the middle, citiesforkids.com. But we have staff, part-time staff on that. And once we hit the summer, every week of the summer, we're in a camp. So not one week goes by that we're not in some city other than Dumas. We start in Dumas, but we're in cities all over, including the Navajo Indian Reservation, Kentucky, Nebraska. We'll be down in on the border, Brownsville, Texas. We're down in Belize, Central America, Ireland. So we have, that's all the spots we can do, and we fill up. But we do every week of the summer. We're bringing teenagers and adults and families with us to provide a camp, which sometimes the camps are about 100 kids. Sometimes they're 400 or 500, depending on the churches and community that we're working with. But at the end of it all, we see literally a couple thousand, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 kids, depending on the summer. They change sometimes that are involved with it, along with several hundred kids make a decision for Christ and begin the connecting with the church and the discipleship process. So our heart beats really big for that kind of ministry. And so we're so thankful that we can do both right now. And maybe it won't be like that forever, but for now we can do both. We can pastor here in Dumas, but we have an organization that's strong enough to support us so that we can actually do all this work in the summer as well.
You know, as you were talking earlier, and you were saying how you were letting, you know, basically stepping down and being under the umbrella of the other leadership. And that's the first thing that came to my mind, is that you guys could focus more on your children's ministry and your teen ministry, because that is something I have seen come out of your church so much. And also, I've got to be a part of that and to work in that. And it's a very excellent program. And so I could see that being something that you could really, I mean, once a week throughout the summer. Do you have a group of people that travel with you to help you with these camps, or do you try to recruit people in the area?
Both, and both are very important. Now, I'm kind of like the spokesman right now in this interview, but my wife would be the director. I'm more of a, she wouldn't call me, you know, that I'm not the co-director, but she does most of the work, most of the training, almost all of it. And so I'm there supporting that aspect so that I'm able to lean more on the pastoral side in Dumas, support her, and then we both get involved with that. But it is both. We do things. She has a team of people. A lot of these, we just put someone on staff as well in our church who's also going to help out with these camps. But one is actually, she was a child, grew up in the in the camps, became a teenager, grew up, and is married now with her own child. And we just put her on staff here in the church, but she'll also support a lot of things we do with camp. She's helped lead her first camp this summer. And so that's someone that went from all the way from being a child in camp to being a camp director. So we released out our first director position this last summer, and she oversaw a camp in Kentucky. It was a huge success. So we have these ones we've actually trained with that have a heart for it, young adults, teenagers, and they do a lot of traveling. Some of them, last summer as an example, some of these teenagers went to every camp, so that we didn't go every week of the summer, but almost every week they were traveling. They raised their funds. They worked hard. They gave, and they traveled as missionaries, 17, 18 year old missionaries, just traveling. And what a difference. It's one thing to sit in a good church and receive, and that's so important. That's foundational. But to actually be a young adult and to be out there working, doing the work of the ministry, will change your life. And we've seen it happen over and over again. I also want to say this along those lines, huge shout out to all the churches. I know a lot of times you'll see we'll talk about a church is doing something and maybe they're successful or highly successful, but that's not to negate the work of all the churches. I think it's wise for churches to find out what is, you know, we're called to do a lot of things, but what are some of the main things that we're called to do, and to do that and not try to do everything, but to do what we're called to do, stay in that lane, and we'll have a great impact. It takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people, and we need them all. So it's a privilege to work with all kinds of churches with our camp that receive us in to do what we do.
You know, that is exactly what I was thinking, too, is you have an opportunity to whatever you feel really called to really to focus on that. And all of us make up, all the churches make up that ministry of the church, in different areas where we're called to do. And so that's exciting. Now, one of the places that you go to is Ireland. Is that correct?
Yes.
Will you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, that's where it all started. On the lovely island of Ireland, my wife and I were missionaries there for 5 years, and we've been traveling back and forth for many, many years since then. But Ireland is where it started. We started a church there under the direction of the Lord, and several, Texas Panhandle, Lubbock, Trinity Lubbock, I could just start name off, Victory Church, Amarillo at the time, and of course, Cornerstone, all the Cornerstone churches. Supported us, Wheeler, everyone, and we were missionaries from 1999 to 2004. So it was during that time, a few years in, that we discovered the church was growing and we were ministering to people, but our heart was very much evangelism and to reach out however we could. And so the Lord gave us the idea. We kind of saw a camp that was similar to this, kind of a sports camp, and we thought, what if we did a sports art, like different kind of arts, dance, music, all these different components that kids enjoy doing, they learn to do, it's healthy, it's socially good for them, just combine it all into a free camp. And we knew it cost some money, but a free camp for kids all week, not just a few hours, not in the evenings, but all day camp. And so we launched it. Once again, a big shout out to Trinity Church of Lubbock. They're the ones that really helped us to start that in Ireland. And once we started that first year, we continued to do that and expanded and had a few more camps, different parts of the country. And so it's all started in Ireland. So we always go back really to home. So the kids camp didn't really start in the Texas Panhandle. It started in Ireland. So the home of this ministry was birthed in Ireland. So we returned and give back there. And it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I was actually, we had Michael Munu on here a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago. Time's gone by, but one of the things that he was talking about was going and helping with that particular camp. And I told him, I said, okay, Presley and I, we're going to have to get on board for this, for the next trip. And so he made sure to send me all the information.
Very good.
I'm sorry?
I would just say I'm very good.
Yes. And so that is something I wonder is, do you offer that as a mission trip to people? If that's something that people want to do and they want to get hooked up with you in this children ministry and the things that you're doing, maybe people that are outside of your church, is that something that you do?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. And once again, it's that the contact place is citiesforkid.com. And on there, it's all laid out for the summer. The cost, the days, the area, the information, all it's all there. They worked hard at over the years of building how do we present this and show people what they can do. Even the fundraising part. The fundraising part we help with. We give ideas. We always say it like this. Should never stop you from taking a mission trip. It's the last thing that should stop you. And we say that not just flippantly. We say that in faith, and we back that up with helping people. Anyone who has wanted our help and asked us and sincerely did what we were saying with the different ways of doing it, money's never been a problem. So we help people. Even we don't give the money to them, but we help them on the proven ways to raise funds and things they can do. And once again, it's all there on the website. It's right there. And once you put your information in, even if it's just an interest, you're praying about it, it's a possibility, then we will get in touch with you. One of the staff members will get in touch with you. And now we still have a lot to develop. We're at the point where we have people on staff that can, like, call you and help you and walk you through all the steps.
That is great. I actually, Jim pulled this website up for me, and this looks really cool. And there's a place it actually has that you can click on for those that want to volunteer and fill that out. It looks like, yeah, right there, become a volunteer, and it says apply now. And then down at the bottom, even I see where you can fill in your information to where they can actually get in contact with you guys. That is an amazing – that I'm really excited about that.
Now, one thing that's not on there, but I just want to say it on this broadcast because we're praying about it. It's going to happen. But we're going to be so excited when we finally are able to go to Thailand. We have his church as an organization has been very supportive of building these. They're really like homes. They're homes for kids and women who have been rescued out of human sex trafficking. They're in the northern Thailand, but also they minister to refugees in Burma, which is an ongoing war and just crisis there. And so we have built a relationship because his church already had it. My wife has built a relationship with the director there. And so it's just a matter of time before we are able to announce our first trip to Thailand to help support. We've already sent – actually, let me say this. Last summer, our kids raised money, the kids themselves. We took up an offering in the camp, and they sent how much, Teresa? We sent $7,500 out of the kids' money to Thailand to help them rescue these women and these children in human sex trafficking. So Wow. That's an exciting thing on the horizon there that we're already involved with, but we'll actually send a team out.
You know, we should have had Teresa on here too as well. We'll definitely have to have her on for sure next time, and have you both together, because I know that Teresa is put her heart and soul into this ministry. I have seen her work countless hours on these things back when I was helping you guys out with that. So that's really exciting. So okay, so not only are you guys ministering to people and doing camps, but you're raising up a generation to go out and send forth to minister.
Yes, yes. This is a borrowed statement from Pastor Willie George, but it's worth repeating, that the church, the kids are not the church of tomorrow. They are, but we got to understand it like this. Children are not just the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. So we see them in that way, and we begin to see that not only do we reach these children for Christ, that they make a relational commitment, accepting him, and they begin their journey. But even at that young age, we have so many young adults now that were children, and they went through the camp, and they want to give back. And it is such a beautiful, powerful, healthy thing, because all Christians are called not to do camp, but to do something. And this is one of those important things that can be done.
And gives them an opportunity to see, to as you begin to minister, to see the world in their eyes and begin to have compassion on them. But these young people are so, what's the word? They're really good at that, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because we'd like to think they're looking at us first, but they're really looking at these teenagers first.
Right.
And for good or bad, they're looking at the teenagers first. So if those teenagers can be a Christ-like example, that just reinforces what we say and do, because the teenagers are helping them in that transition.
That's correct. Well, Mark, are you still with us on here? Uh-oh, did we get lost? Did we lose our connection? Well, you know, let's go back to your talking about his church and your simulcast church. And I know you said this is a new thing that's coming around and simulcasting the message to the church where it's not always a live message. And that transition, is that one of the transitions that you had to deal with the people of the church, it not being, you know, your traditional, usual way of church?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Now, it's interesting because people use social media, television, video, all that in other ways. But when you run into the church, it's a change. And anytime you have change, it's not always easy. And so for me, I'm not going to act like it's been easy or it's even easy right now. It's a transition. I believe many churches, more and more churches, will utilize some aspect of that because it's technology. And Life Church, I'm trying to give credit, especially being on the broadcast here. But one thing I learned from Life Church, Craig Rochelle, senior leader there, is they use the phrase, "We are harnessing technology to reach more people for Christ." And so that's what simulcasting is. We're using technology to be able to reach people. You know, one may say, well, what's wrong with the pastor that's there in the local campus? Well, hopefully nothing wrong with them, that they're a good communicator and they're loving the people and being a shepherd and all those good things. But when you have a larger organization, there has to be a way of how can we in many locations talk to everyone? Maybe not every week, but from time to time, be able to talk to everyone, share with everyone, be, you know, together in what we believe and what we're focused on, where we're going. And so this is one of the ways of doing it. Now, also behind that is, I think, to be understood, just for those who are interested, I meet every week with pastors from our organization. So we are every week praying together, every week coordinating things, every week looking at our policies, our procedures. It has so sharpened myself. I'm not too old to learn, but sharpens up the way we do things, because it's not and once again, not for everyone, but we're not just a standalone church where everything is just right there and locally. Because you can have the good, but also the bad, when that there's no one checking, no one challenging, no one providing other perspectives other than what's internal there. It's a healthy thing to have other churches. I know some would have said in the past that there, you know, and I know there can be good and bad within denominations. It's really, the way we do it is similar to denomination in that we're a network, we're an organization. We work together, not just on our own, but connected to others. So it has its difficulties, but it also has its blessings.
Well, and I would imagine that it came in. I mean, if my time is right, it would happen to be before the COVID, and when there was
right before
COVID. And so right now you have an opportunity to continue to minister to your church through the technology that you have through the internet. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I mean, once that took place and all of the craziness and the chaos took place, we were able to do everything online. We had the cameras, we had the ability to go from different churches to simulcast into other locations to do online things, you know, during the week, and it's all there. We have staff that's what they do, the media department. So this is another benefit. I don't have a media department in Dumas. We're smaller, but we have a media department in some of our larger facilities, and so we talk directly to them. Our people, we'll talk to them, and they'll help us to create something or to do something. So it's the strength of many, but yet we can do it in a smaller way in our local church here, but we draw from the abilities of our other campuses and our other pastors and staff.
Yeah, that is really cool, to be able to share the resources for a bigger purpose, basically.
I was going to say this too about not being easy. I'm the oldest staff member. I'm 52, so I'm the oldest staff member by far of our entire organization. All the pastors, everyone's younger than me. So that's been kind of humbling at times, and it's also been fun. You know, you want to stay young, hang around young people. And so it's been fun to, especially some of the things that where you can tell the age difference. I think this is funny. Some of the jargon or the way we say things, even in the church world, has changed so much. Like all through our age of being youth ministers and different things, we would talk about product. You have a product table with things that maybe you're selling or you're sharing or giving mm-hmm. away. Product.
Yes.
Well, the younger people don't call it product. These younger ministers, at least in our situation, they call it, what do they call it, babe? Merch. They call it merch. This is the merch, which merchandise. I mean, you mean product? So just that age difference, product versus merch. And the other things like that, it cracked me up from time to time, the way the younger ministers will say something and I won't be savvy and I'll go, do you mean this?
Yeah, back can when you I translate? Was,
you know. Yeah.
You know, that is so cool because you know what? We have to, our generation that we are reaching now is a generation of technology. They are. Yes. It's just a totally different time now.
And we refuse to let the devil,
right,
the world, and evil use that and not be challenged, not have anyone say anything, do anything. We refuse to do that. So we want to do our part, and I know other churches are doing their part in bigger, smaller ways, but we refuse to cede this to the evil one and all his influence over media and in these technological ways.
That's right, and that's part of going out and making disciples, is going out and reaching them right there where they are at in their environment. And so I was wondering, because so you have your simulcast on your Sunday mornings. Now, do you typically have services throughout the week at any time or have any other services that you provide or programs throughout the week?
Yes. Two things. Like many churches, we do our midweek, and our midweek is always live. So the midweek service for myself or whatever campus you're talking about, that would be Bible study. From the campus pastor, and that would also be the time where you have youth, for us, youth ministry and children's ministry and other things. You know, it's interesting for those, even before my time, that grew up with the Sunday school, which is such a blessing, such a wonderful thing, and some churches still do that. Whether we call it Sunday school or call it midweek service, we try to capture that smaller teaching discipleship type component. So it's very important. We do that on Wednesdays, and that's our groups, those main groups, but then we also do smaller groups from in different seasons. We have different seasons where we run special groups for different purposes. Maybe it's a Bible study group, or maybe it's men's women's ministry, or maybe it's we're doing a teaching from a video situation. So there's different things like that we offer. So it's the Sunday morning experience, the Wednesday night discipleship, and then the other fill in different nights groups in the different seasons.
That's great, because you know, I think sometimes people they like to be in connection with the pastor, and so you still have that opportunity to still connect with the people, even though you're doing a simulcast on that Sunday morning. You're there that morning, correct? And you're loving on these people and pastoring there in the building.
Yes. It would be like, and those who have done it for a while, they either get used to it, or you know, everyone doesn't like it. You know, we do things different ways, but it's the teaching portion. So the simulcast is the teaching component, and which is you can have some of the finest preachers in the world. And we've brought different people in. It's not just the senior leader. We've brought different ministers in, one from Columbia, an evangelist from Columbia. Well, he can't be in all the places, but he can come to one campus, simulcast out to others. And so that teaching portion, the time of the word, I'm able to introduce it and then the man or woman of God is able to minister, and then I come off of that, and maybe we're going to pray for people. It's just the teaching portion would be the simulcast, and we harness that technology to use that so we can go everywhere.
Okay, so if people are really interested in looking, coming and seeing you in Dumas at his church, tell us your address and tell us where you're at and located.
We are not exactly First Street and Elm, but it's close enough. We're next door to the bank, which is First Street and Elm. So we're 10 Elm, right next to the bank. But it's First and Elm. You cannot miss it. We have this huge sign that says His Church. Almost looks like some Vegas lights. They're lights that light up at night if you ever drove by. But it's First and Elm in Dumas, Texas.
Do you have a website or a Facebook page that people can go and access your information?
It's hischurch.org.
Hischurch.org, okay.
And then from there it gives you the ability to go to the different sites, the different places. Dumas is on the list.
Okay. Well, that is great. Do you have anything exciting and new coming up that you want to share with us? I don't know anything. I'm just wondering. I have no secrets. Anyway, I was wondering, is there anything exciting or great that you'd like to share with us that's coming up soon? Or what are you guys, how you guys are moving into this new year and the things that you're doing?
Well, two things. Obviously, I've already talked about camp. So that's like right here. We're about to flip a few calendar days in. Spring's going to be here and then summer. So I think I've spent enough time on the camp portion. What we're sensing and what we're beginning to see, especially coming out of the chaos and craziness of the last couple of years that has affected everyone in different ways, is a genuine revival. And I don't use that word loosely. I use it specifically, a revival in that people's hearts turning back to the Lord, turning back to prayer, turning back to Bible study, and really turning back to community, to being together with I like to say it like this, and I'm sure I borrowed this from somebody, but I don't know who it is, so I'll just say it. We're called to believe in Jesus, but we're also called to belong to the church. We're called to love Jesus. Yes, we got to love His church. He loves His church. We should love His church. It's imperfect and problematic it is at times because of people in it. And so I'm seeing this revival among us in our group, but I'm also seeing it and hearing about it in other places that even though it has been crazy and chaotic, we're coming back. The church is coming back. The numbers aren't there across the board, but the people that are coming back, I believe we're going to build up. We're going to be stronger than ever, and we're going to accomplish what God has called us to do. And let me just note this. I've heard this recently, and I believe it, statistically, and the data shows that although there's still a large percentage of people that would call themselves a Christian in America, and there's a smaller portion, maybe 25%, that are actually active in church. I mean, that's really changed over the last decades, mm-hmm. but about 25% that they give, they go, you know, they're a part of, and then a larger part of them, another 25% is probably just, they show up every once in a while. You know, different holidays. It leaves us a huge opportunity to reach a lot of people. And especially when you consider, and I'm going to try to get this right. It's in my heart. The data shows that at the rate of non-believers, people that are saying, I'm a non-believer or I don't have any affiliation, that percentage is going up about 1% every year in America. And at the current rate in 50 years, we will have a 75% of our culture in America basically saying, I'm not against God, but I don't really know about Him or have relationship, and I don't identify in any religious way. Now, do we have a picture of that anywhere else? Yes, we do. I live there. That's what Europe looks like right now. I go there once a year. Europe looks like this. It's worse in some countries, but Europe looks like it has a past of Christianity, some influence from mainline churches, but for the most part, most of the people, or at least 75%, no really religious affiliation or thoughts along those lines. And that's where America's going unless something happens before we reach that point. And I believe revival, the church must return to Jesus, to the foundations, not compromise, that's not right. Apologize. The foundational truth, love everyone before everyone, but present the truth that sets people free. And That's what I want to give my life for. That's what I love camps. I love church. I love all those dynamics of how we utilize those things. But it's really all about, especially when you get a little bit older, like, what are we leaving the next generation? Where is our country going? And as much as I have different views politically and other things, my main focus is, what can we do as Christ followers, as the church that bears his name, to be revived ourselves so that we can bring an awakening, another great awakening to America, because America needs it.
Amen. I totally agree with that. And that is actually something I began praying quite some time ago for, to see it happen. And I believe that we're coming into that time. you know, as you were talking about, you know, being as in one mind, or, you know, talking about statistics and things like that, I was reminded of something I had talked about on a previous show, is the percentage of Christians, or, well, that call themselves Christians, 80% believe, approximately 80% believe that you can get to heaven more than what through Jesus.
Yeah.
That you don't have to, you know, that there's other ways other than through Jesus, and that's not right.
Yeah, that's true. And that probably comes not just from maybe people not being exposed to Bible teaching, correct information. I mean, some of it is the problem they're not exposed to. Some of that is the way it's taught, the way it's presented, that it's not presented, not in a mean way, but with a way in which conviction is communicated. There has to be conviction of, like, people, yes, they'll listen to what you say, but they can see whether you really believe it or not. And so, unfortunately, I think a lot of ministers don't have that conviction. Therefore, a lot of the church leadership, a lot of the families, a lot of the parents, there's not a conviction that this is the word of the Lord. And he's right, and at times, many times, we're wrong. So we must bow to the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what keeps us free. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.
That is right. That is right. Okay, so we're going to pause for just a minute.
Mark, you still on the line with us? Checking to see if Mark is on the line with us.
This is the great thing about recording.
That's why we can record. We can check. Because I show that I still have Mark connected, but he hasn't spoken up. So, okay. Well.
Do we want to keep going, or you want to try to get back on the line?
I don't know. You want to try to see if we can connect with Mark.
We have about, what, 10 more minutes?
Yeah. I'll,
And only that. So, Frank, when he says go, we'll go ahead.
Okay, y'all go
you go
ahead.
With your thought that you just had in regards to what we were just talking about.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark. I mean, excuse me, Frank.
All right. So in talking about revival, more specifically the Texas Panhandle where we live, this area, wherever the broadcast goes out, we look at our towns, our big towns, our cities, the few ones that we have, and we have to ask ourselves, what can we do? What should we do? I mean, I know I ask myself that question, and I always like to say it like this. I love where I live. I love my city. I love this area. You know, this is where we've given our best. We've raised our kids. And so when we look at things in America, in the world, and in the Texas Panhandle or wherever we're at, we have to say, what can we do? Because we can't do everything, but we can do something. Can't reach everyone, but we can reach someone. And so here recently, one thing that's been shared in our group of churches is the book of Acts. And actually, Pastor Jim Loper used to say this all the time, that, you know, we know how to act if we'll read the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the Acts of the That's Spirit right. of God moving upon the church. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, I think about what happened with them, but I think about the same God who did it then wants to do it today. And it actually says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. So those different regions, we're talking about regions that this broadcast goes out to, it says they had peace Well, why did they have peace? Because of what they were saying and what they were doing as the church. So we bring peace. We don't wait for the government. We don't wait for organizations or this, that, or the other. It says they had peace because of the church. It says they were built up and edified, and they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Well, there's a lot there, but the one thing that I want to connect with revival is the phrase that a lot of people don't know about, haven't heard about it, but it used to be a predominant foundation in the life of Christians, and many churches would teach this. It's that phrase, the fear of the Lord. And I believe if we return to that foundation of the fear of the Lord, it will change the trajectory of our life, of our families, and of the church, and even the nation. Now I got to go backwards and say, what is the fear of the Lord? Because somebody might say, you mean we're supposed to be afraid of God? Well, I know I am, but that's not the main point. He's God. He's Almighty God. So yeah, you should, you, as a mere mortal. But the point of the fear of the Lord, if you look it up, the way it was used in application and its definition, it simply means to have a reverence for Him, to have an honor or respect and honor for the Lord, to revere Him, to fear Him, means to honor, respect Him in such a way that no one else and nothing else, no opinions, no personalities, no government, no one or nothing has a greater influence on your decisions, how you live your life, and what you do than God. You honor Him. That means you fear Him. You respect Him. You worship Him. You put together a bunch of phrases in the scriptures. We know them. Love the Lord. Fear the Lord. Worship the Lord, serve the Lord, give unto the Lord. Those are all statements that bring out that foundation in our core as believers to say, this is the way, walk in it. And until we return to that, then we're not going to become a revived people. Jesus will not be our first love, but other things and other influences will take charge of our lives. So this first of the year, you know, all ministers, all Christians kind of have goals and themes and, you know, what they believe God's saying. I believe there's God saying a lot of things. If I had to say, what is the main thing God's speaking to me, and He's actually speaking this into the churches we're a part of, is to be established in that honor and in that respect above everyone and anything else. Make God that high priority, and then watch what happens to the way our lives become arranged or rearranged, I should say, and alignment comes, and peace and comfort and strength, stability, strategy will begin to move in through our lives, and we will see what the enemy meant for evil to kind of shake us up. We awaken unto the most important things, and we begin to walk in the honor of the Lord, in the respect and the worship where God has the preeminence. And then, and that's what I'm looking forward to in my own personal life, but also in these other family, church, you know, region, nation, that if we'll do that, if we'll truly be in God we trust, in God we put first, then I believe there's not only hope, there's going to be a future for us, our families, the churches, and the nation.
Amen.
I know I got preachy there, but preachers, I guess, get preachy sometimes.
No, I was like, oh yeah, bring it. I'm ready for this. You know, it made me think about Proverbs, where it says,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello? How about now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, did you hear me? So you weren't able to hear me before?
No, just now I got on.
Okay, so, you know, as you were talking, you know, the scripture that came to my mind was in Proverbs, where it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Proverbs, yes, that's right.
And so, well, the whole message of Proverbs is pretty much, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what it's about. And it's, you know, you think about it like with your parents, you know, we love our parents. We want to spend time with our parents, but we do have a reverential fear of them. You know, as a child raising your kid up, you know, a healthy fear.
Yes, ma'am.
That we learn, and that's what we have, is we have a Father God that loves us, and He wants us to cry out to Him. He says that you that I would be your God and that you would be my people. You know, I was listening to a preacher, a speaker, and that was one thing. And I can't remember how many times it's actually said in the Old Testament. He said, but that you would be my people. I would be your God and you would be my people. And that's it. And the basis of the message of what we're saying is love God and love people.
That's right. Very good. And it's interesting that you make the connection, you know, real quick. The book of Proverbs saved my life as a teenager. I was beginning to practice drugs, stealing things, got into a lot of trouble in my junior high years in Dallas, Fort Worth, where I'm from. And I was sent to the boys' home, Cal Farley's Boys Ranch, and we were given Bibles. I got bored. I started reading, kind of flipped it open towards the middle and started reading the book of Proverbs, and it saved my life. Because you just quoted it. It says in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says in chapter 1, and then a few chapters over it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So why is it one or the other? It's both. The fear of the Lord is how we get knowledge or truthful information according to God. So we have knowledge, and then it says the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So once we have the knowledge or correct information, we have wisdom is the ability or the skill to apply the knowledge or truthful information we have. Now we're ready to build a life. So the fear of the Lord and this wisdom that comes with it causes us to be able to, I love it. It's Proverbs 22:4. This changed my life as a young teenager. Just read it here. Proverbs 22:4-5. It says, by humility, recognizing he's God, we're not, you know, who he is to us and relating to him properly. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Everyone's chasing after riches, honor, and life, but this is a way you actually can obtain it, by fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. And then verse 5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his own soul will be far from them. I learned that as a teenager, that the life I was beginning to live was full of thorns or pain, snares, traps, and I was finding my life full of pain and finding myself entrapped. And it was the way of the perverse, and perverse simply meaning to twist or to bend the truth. And as I learned that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, that wisdom came from God, and I began to follow that, it changed my life. So I can get pretty excited about Proverbs.
I bet. And once you get that wisdom, that knowledge from the Word, like you did in that scripture, that's where conviction comes, and you're able to turn to God and turn to that way. Well, we are really thankful that you came on the program tonight. We really enjoyed it. We remind us again your church and where you're located at, where people can come and find you guys.
We're at First and Elm in Dumas, Texas. So First Street being a busy street there for a small town, and right there on the corner next to the bank, First and Elm. But the main way to find out about us, or to see if you even want to come in the first place, or where we're at in our other locations, maybe you're in the Amarillo area, is to just go to hischurch.org. Simple, hischurch.org. And you can find out information about all of our locations, ministries, things we provide.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. If there was somebody that was in a different area, but they could find that information from your website.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
let me ask you right quick. Give us again that website on your youth ministry.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that is cities, and then the number 4, kids. .com.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Hey, Whitford.
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we appreciate you being on tonight. And
remember that our previous programs, as well as this one, are archived online at SundayNightLive.org. You'll also find links there to Cornerstone Church, to the Kingdom Keys Network that carries this program, and to our Facebook page where you can contact Natalie if you have someone that's interested in you or someone you know ought to be on the program. We'd like to take that advantage interview them. Make sure we continue to bring compelling content on our program for y'all. So we thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you for joining us tonight. You guys have a good night.
And we will be back next week at the very same time, at the very same place. We invite you to join us here along the Kingdom Keys Network for Sunday Night Live.